1890 takes us on our virtual tour to Magorbum in Cashel Union, a delightful church where sheep graze the churchyard and where, uniquely now in the diocese, I think there is still no connection to the national grid of electricity. The church is heated by a pot-bellied stove, and delightfully, one of the services during the year which takes place at Epiphany is a carol service. I suppose it won't be happening this time round, but a carol service by candlelight in a crammed church with that rare, beautiful, and I suppose always something you have to be very careful about, but that rare, beautiful thing, a fully candlelit Christmas tree. So as we think of that little connection with traditional forms of light and energy, we pray for those who, looking in the other direction, looking forward in our world, try to find sustainable and environmentally responsible ways of keeping us warm and illuminated, and how the church takes a lead in that. 1890, a year of an American census. Now, I've mentioned censuses before in these islands, particularly in the Irish context. But in 1890, and this proves the aftermath, the effects of the aftermath of the famine and consequent emigration, in 1890, 2.8% of the population of the United States were Irish born. And furthermore, 20% of the foreign-born population of the states was Irish. And there were a whopping 4,142,000 children in America with both parents Irish born. In other words, the number of children in the United States with two Irish parents was only a little short of the total and still declining population of Ireland itself, which was recorded the following year, 1891, at 4,705,000. And meanwhile, as I say, there were 4,142,000 children in America with both parents Irish. Now, you can use these figures as you like all figures, but they are amazing. Certainly the root of the United States' special relationship with here, which we continue to celebrate in various ways on St. Patrick's Day. Root of the problem, in some ways, of America's having a national generous sympathy with Ireland, but not always quite knowing, particularly during the years of the Troubles, what was on the ground happening here. The root of nearly every US president needing to trace ancestry here in order, supposedly, to attract an Irish vote. Apparently, they tend to come in the third year of their first term. So we'll see when President Biden arrives in both Mayo and Louth. And all this is also the root of a truth I've discovered, that you almost can't understand Irish history without understanding some measure of American history, given particularly the comings and goings in the formative years of the Irish state and the seeking of money and political support for the Irish cause there and for the peace process more recently. But it's always very important to remember, too, that the Irish were amongst one ethnic group in the richness of the United States, and within the Irish community there was very substantial diversity. For example, a huge number of those who claimed Irish ancestry in fact derived from immigrants who were Ulster Protestants. But as an emphatically Irish-American president takes office, those figures of 1690 remain very pertinent.